I mean, what organisationally we have Mitra conveners, and ideally a centre will have a Mitra convener for each gender. So we've got Dyapakshini here. At the moment, we don't have a men's Mitra convener, and so that defaults back to me as chair. Although we have somebody in the pipeline who's interested, so watch this space, as it were. There's a possible men's Mitra convener in the pipeline. And it's the Mitra convener's job, as it were, although job's a funny way of describing it, isn't it? To just try and ensure that people are getting, you know, people are in contact with people who can support them, really, who can, you know, that if they want to partake in study, then study, you know, they're pointed in the right direction, encouraging other order, you know, just checking order members are keeping in touch with people and stuff like that. Sometimes people don't want to do that. Sometimes, you know, we've got quite a lot of people who are sort of nominally mitras at the Buddhist Centre here who are off doing other things, who aren't very actively involved at the moment. I probably ought to try and get in touch with them, really. Well, I will. It's been on my to-do list, is write to the men mitras for a couple of months now. Let's chase them up, see how they do. So we try and provide study for people. Now, previously, in the past, there was a 10-term Mitra study course. So most of which was based on lectures by Sangharachita, based on series of 8 lectures by Sangharachita. We're in the process of kind of reviewing the whole business of study for people. What's important, I suppose, really, is just that wherever you are, there is an opportunity to learn more about the Dharma and keep reflecting on the Dharma, keep exploring the Dharma, taking your understanding of it deeper and further. And there are, well, I've got some stuff here for some sort of stuff about this, there are ideas there are about the new Mitra course, and we can maybe talk about those in a bit, because I'm afraid I don't know very much about them. There are also retreats and other events specifically for Mitras at the retreat centres, and sometimes there are events around the centre. Occasionally sort of Mitra days for women, Mitra days for guys. Tara Loka particularly tend to run events that for Mitras, don't they? Mitras and order members. It's often events for Mitras and order members. I think one of the ideas is that with Mitra study is that there'll be specific Dharma retreats on particular Dharmic themes which are for Mitras, led by experienced teachers. Some people go on to join the order after they become Mitras. Some people ask to become Mitras and order members at the same time. Some people wait around for 15 years before asking. Some people never ask. You know, some people... the way it worked was I came along to a Buddhist centre for a while, and after a while I thought, oh my goodness, I've either got to do this or spend the rest of my life pretending that I don't know about it. So for me, when I asked to become a Mitra, it was implicit in that asking for me. I decided that I was going to become an order member as well. That is just a peculiarity of my psychology, really. It's not obligatory or complicit in a way. It's kind of, you know, becoming a Mitra is a much more provisional thing than that. You just say, I'm going to do this for the time being and I'll see where it takes me, really. That's what it's about. Although some people might think in the same way I do. I'm sure other people see it entirely differently. But actually, you know, I think that the process of becoming an order member is very much the same thing, really. It's just one makes that declaration of, well, yes, I hold this ideal of the goal of human enlightenment. I want to practice as best I possibly can to get there. And I want to do it in this context. I want to do it with these other people who seem to understand that in a similar way to me. And then that's witnessed by somebody who you trust is very capable of following through on that, who's been able to do that for a long time. And the point of ordination, in a way, you could say, is the point where you and experienced order members and the other order members who you've come to know, perhaps even just your friends, can see that you, under a normal range of circumstances, are able to effectively hold that practice together, you know, and for the foreseeable future are likely to continue doing that. And that's the time at which one gets ordained. And it's that same process of witnessing that takes place in this whole business of getting the queso round the neck. I think I'll leave it there. Maybe we could do some questioning and answering. It's probably the best thing, because my suspicion is that there are questions that have come up. I could say something about, you know, what makes the FWO different from other Buddhist movements, but maybe we'll just see if that's what comes up. It's okay. It's all right.
When does the next picture course start?
Well, it's not quite like that, actually. It's not that there is a structured course at the moment. It's more that, particularly in this situation, we don't have that many people available to teach, really. And so what we do is we just try and provide study for mitras as best we can, given the teachers who are available. So there's a group just getting off the ground on Monday evenings, which Marcus is part of, which is a guys' group. Generally speaking, although it's not, you know, where possible, we try and offer study at Mitra level and above for men and women separately. Partly it avoids all the distraction and all that shilly-shallying. But also, it's just being a guy is different from being a woman, and the issues that come up, the issues of practice, and also just sort of issues of disclosure, in a way, because when one starts studying the Dharma, one has to bring the Dharma into relationship with how one is in one's heights and one's depths, as it were. So one has to be quite candid, in a way, about what the issues are in one's life. Those things seem to work better, seem to be safer. It's a bit safer in single-sex groups. My guess is that over the next few years, we are going to be having more mixed-sex study groups, just by necessity, because we don't have enough teachers to be able to provide single-sex groups. But I don't know what is there space for women mitras at the minute, or I think the groups are a bit full, aren't they?
Yeah, we've got one group that's kind of halfway through.
Yeah, my guess is it might be. I think that there's another thing is that in the old days, the old Mitra system, the criteria for becoming a Mitra were quite rigorous, and there was a degree of bureaucracy involved that often meant that it could take quite a long time. I think some of you will have heard me mention that it took me 10 months to become a Mitra from when I asked to when my ceremony was done. In some situations, people waited years. Now that it's a bit more spacious and it's a bit more sort of straightforward, you just come along and say, yes, I want to do this, and we say yes, then people become mitras with different levels of experience. So by the time I'd become a mitra, I'd done quite a lot of study, as it were, so I knew quite a bit, as it were. Nowadays, people are becoming mitras with different levels of experience. So sometimes people are becoming mitras and the things that there's a whole kind of need to look at, you know, just straightforward things, like some people have studied the precepts and some people haven't. So you have to make sure there's a common ground of having studied the precepts and know the Four Noble Truths, and, you know, what you might call basic Buddhism, you know, kind of the foundation course, as it were, which needs to be looked at. So that sort of slightly complicates things now in that respect. In the past, it was very straightforward. You became a Mitra and you did the Mitra study course, and that was, you know, you did this, you know, and there was a particular sequence and so on. It's a bit more It's a bit more flexible nowadays, which has advantages, but is open to more complication as well. Do you want to say anything else about study?
Well, thinking about, you know, the question when does the next course start, ideally would be when we've got the next group of mitras, wouldn't it? If
yeah.
we always had enough people to take study, that would be the ideal way, where I'd like to ask you, but it's not necessarily always going to be like that. Oh, the other thing I suppose to say about study is that, like Nyan Garba said, you know, you used to sort of start studying and you did it for 10 sessions, and you kind of started and you had to, well, you kind of expected you'd finish, and it took, at best, it took about 3.5 years. Sometimes it took people about 6 years, I think. And people get tired during that ongoing. You know, it feels a bit relentless sometimes, especially if you've done a lot of study in your life. But with the new study stuff is kind of more modular. So you might do some work and then maybe have a break. Somebody else might come along and say, I'd like to do this series, who's interested in it. So it'll be a bit more, I suppose the good thing about it is it won't be so relentless. The bad thing about it might be that it might be a bit hit and miss, I suppose, if nobody does take on the next bit or something.